The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Monday afternoon, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. The final Monday of June 2026, last day of June tomorrow. And then we're downhill to 2027. Lord above. Wimbledon starts today. The World Cup is on until 2 weeks on Sunday. Been going on forever already, hasn't it? And Timbledale, of course, is a week today. Anyway, whatever's on your mind, call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. So any thoughts or what happened over the weekend? I'd just like to get your thoughts on, well, this story about gazumping or gazundering. If you purchased a property lately, did you know about gazumping or gazundering? This is Gary Cluett, MLC, who's seeking leave to introduce a private members bill to try and combat issues commonly seen when demand exceeds supply, which obviously at the moment it does. Any thoughts on this? Would it have helped you? Have you been subject to it? You haven't done it, have you? Surely you wouldn't do that. Well, anyway, text, email, call, WhatsApp, you're on. And Howard's with us first today. Hi, Howard.
Oh, hi, Andy. Welcome back, fella.
Thank you.
That gazumping, etc., it's not something new on the island, because I can say this because it happened to me. I was after buying a house down in Douglas. I'm talking a long time ago, my wife and I, and we had all more or less arranged, and we found out that the person who owned the house also owned a company. And he sold that house back to one of his own companies, which then moved on to another one of his companies. So my wife and I lost the purchase of that house, and I'm talking 40 years ago. So it's not a new phenomenon. So this Mr. Cluett is a new broom, and I don't know where this comes in with the MLCs putting so much spoke into the, because they were there basically to check what went through Timbuktu.
Scrutiny, they're there to scrutinise, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's the basis of the Manx law, or the Manx parliament. There's the Timwald, which are duly elected, and the MLCs, which are picked by the MHKs. So they're not elected by the public, so I don't know why this man has got so much to say, but I tend to agree with him on this point. So it's not something new. And It's something that's been tidying along, and there must have been an awful lot of people fell foul of this. Privateers coming in and buying up houses and then moving around, in some cases, maybe fictitious companies. And then in about another couple of years' time, you see those companies mentioned in the Courier and places has been dissolved.
Mm. Anyway, that wasn't why you called.
It wasn't, no. Another thing for the government, again, it's the Tourist Board, Department of Leisure, whatever they call themselves. I've just noticed that the Road to the Sound, a very popular spot, because if you go on your webcams, you'll see somebody down there all the time. And the buses and the coaches, they put on a bus service to the to the sound, and they've closed the road to put cat's eyes in. Right in the middle of the summer season.
Cat's eyes?
Cat's eyes. Yeah. All the way down to the sound. And that road is going to be shut for over a week, depending on the weather. And it's not the first. It's a local company, I think. It's Manx Rock. They've done the last lot. So why couldn't this be done, even at the back end, when we do tend to get reasonable weather, suitable weather for doing the job? But here we are again, neither government parties, the DOI or the Department of entertain, whatever you call themselves. You lose track of them. Not speaking to one another. And as I said, all the fighting and protesting that the people have done to get a bus service down there, now they shut the road for a week in the middle of the season. And, well, there's a classic example in front of you with the camera obscura. That's been shut now for at least 3 weeks. And there's more and more to be done. And again, it's down to the DOI, because the DOI do the maintenance up there.
Right.
Well, they're responsible for, shall I say. And they just seem to be dragging their heels on all aspects. I've just been to Balfame this morning. I do a bit of advertising here, get some of my Glen Helen tea bags. And Balasal is chaotic. They've started to dig up just where the hairdressers used to be around as you come round the roundabout and turn towards to go to the airport.
Oh, by the White Stone.
Just upside of the White Stone. And the traffic lights right through to the fictitious again roundabout and all the way up through, and the traffic, well, you know what it's like down there on that road, a main road. And they got this damn big wagon that's scraping the ground, and it's blocking the road, so you got three sets of traffic lights and chaos with the vehicles.
And the level crossing.
And the level crossing, yeah. Well, people are sensibly keeping that clear, but again, do they not plan these things, or do they have somebody just say, oh, well, we do that tomorrow. Right, we'll have a go at this. Okay, they're digging a hole that... they're doing, ironworks. But all that, again, should be done at a much easier time for the traffic. It's like digging up the middle of a motorway somewhere. And the DOI, they just seem to be living in a fog. They don't seem to know what's going on outside the office window.
Well, the thing is that the sound, the road to the sound is either important or it's not. And obviously it is important. It's one of our iconic tourist spots. Not only mm-hmm. that, but what about the poor people running the cafe?
Exactly. That's what I said to Howard there before. They're going to get no business down there for a week. When they had all the fiasco on the promenade, they compensated the cafes and compensated businesses. Will that same apply to these poor people down there? They've still got to... I bet you they don't say, right, oh, we'll knock so much off your electricity bill and the gas and whatnot. That'll all still be full whack. But they just don't seem to care. And they got to the attitude now that we're holier than thou. And you don't argue with us. It's no longer a government as such. It's a dictatorship in certain aspects of it. But those poor people down there, they're trying to run a business, trying to do well for the island. And if you look at your webcam, invariably every day there's somebody down there. I counted the other day, there was 21 vehicles down there parked up, and that's all I could see through the lens of the camera. So if there's two, maybe three, or even four people in a car, that's quite a considerable amount to going for a cup of tea, a sandwich or a cake, and have a wander around and take pictures and take them home and say, this is beautiful. You just look at the advert, as I said the other day, to Alex, the advert for the steam packet on the Isle, come to the Isle of Man and we'll block your roads. But as I say, they don't seem to be thinking. At one time, it used to be that the hotels on the promenade, and people will back me up on this, had to be painted before a certain time of the year. So it didn't distract from the tourist industry. Nowadays, the scaffolding, all sorts of things go up. There doesn't seem to be any regulation whatsoever.
Well, there are some of those former hotels look very forlorn, Howard.
Oh, dreadful, dreadful. I know the flats at the other end of the promenade are getting a lick of paint, but that again will be in the freeholding. It'll be in the charges going under the flats. Mm. But the promenade and the hotels, it make you wonder what you come to when you see some of them.
All right. Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Okay, bye now.
Okay,
bye.
Well, what Howe's referring to is the Sound Road is going to be closed every day this week from 9:30 to 3:30 between Craigneish and the Sound for the installation of road studs, or it's going to be cat's eyes. Well, I'm all for health and safety. I'm all for vehicle safety and pedestrian safety, but we haven't had any cat's eyes for years there. So, well, there we are. That's happening. And by the way, while we're talking of roads being closed, the bottom of Victoria Street in Douglas is going to be closed for the next two nights. Tonight and tomorrow night, it's going to be closed from 11:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. They're doing building cleaning works between Fort Street and the Prom. That's the bottom end of Victoria Street, closed 11:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. David's on now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to let you know before anybody asks, because you haven't been on for a while, my panels are 77% full, or 79% full, looking at now. 1.5 kilowatts of power I'm producing back into the grid, my grid, and I'm shunting some of it onto the national grid as well, but I'm only getting 9p on that. But anyway, that's another story. Can I say, the concern I do have is, I'm not worried about the private members bill, but what I'm worried about is, why is an MLC doing it instead of a politician, one of our national politicians? This issue has been running around for years, how people sometimes get extra when they're buying a house, and all of a sudden the estate agent, it happened to me donkeys years ago when the estate agent rang me up and said, sorry David, but you've lost the house. I said, why is that? Somebody offered $5,000 more.
Well, it's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
It is. Well, at the time I could tell you a full story. We had to live with my mother and father in the council house in Williston, but anyway, that's another story. But we ended up with a little house in Onken, and I ran round every week and thing, every night, looking for empty properties, and that's what you do. But I've just wondered what's come behind that from Mr. Clue to do that. I don't know the individual very well. I've heard him a few times. He speaks well enough. But at the end of the day, when we're coming into election anyway, the normal politicians are going to be doing nothing except running around there, everybody promising everything to everybody that wants something. But are we going to get anything done? We'll see in the future, won't we, Andy?
Yeah,
and
okay.
I was just going to say, the biggest joke or the biggest thing for us is the bottom of some hill is the tram station there. All that scaffolding outside, that's well over a year now. Somebody needs to make a decision. We either knock it down or rebuild it. Let's get it on a plan with all the other bits we've got, like the prison, two pubs. There's all sorts that are in government ownership there. And what you know the common denominator is?
Yeah.
The government. We're incapable of making a decision. Well, that decision is either yes or no. At least we know what to support, wouldn't we? Maybe we should do it when there's election on, Andy. Let the population, we'll make the decisions, eh?
Okay. All right. It's a nice idea. All right. Bye. Thanks for calling. It's 19 minutes past 12. We're coming on to the gazumping or gazundering in a moment. By the way, your assistance is required by the constabulary, by the way. There were no serious injuries following an incident that resulted in one vehicle rolling near Craigna Bar. The emergency services were called to the scene about 3:45, quarter to four yesterday afternoon, following a collision involving two vehicles and one of them rolled. The petrol hedonism event issued a statement confirming one of the supercar drivers was involved in the incident with a non-participant vehicle. There's going to be a formal investigation undertaken by the constabulary, and they just say, please don't speculate about it. However, they do need witnesses to come forward. I want to hear from anybody who may have dash cam footage or any other information about the incident. Now, if you can help, if you've got dash cam footage or you've got any information about the incident, contact Police Headquarters 631212 or Anonymous Crime Stoppers 0800 555 111 0800 555 111 or again, police headquarters 631212. They'd like to hear from you. So have you ever been gazumped or gazundered? Gary Clewitt, MLC, is seeking leave to introduce a private member's bill to try to combat issues commonly seen when demand exceeds supply in the property market. Here is Gary Clewitt, MLC.
Buying and selling a house is generally the largest financial transaction that 99% of the population will ever into. And yet it comes with the weakest consumer protection of anything that we do. The real issue is at that point, you've paid for the survey fees, you've paid for the valuation, you've hired an advocate, and you've spent several thousand pounds, and that money has basically gone down the drain. I am not seeking to rewrite Manx's conveyancing laws and things, which would be a mammoth task, given that our title issues and conveyancing is quite different from the neighboring islands. And so that would be a large task. I'd be trying to narrowly focus on some of what are the more abuses of the system or gross inefficiencies in the system that is causing many people to pay more than they should. I don't think we keep statistics on the island of failed transactions and things. In the United Kingdom, though, the estimates are that there's about £400 million a year are being lost due to, you know, gazundering, gazumping. That's kind of where we're at. Now, this motion, if approved, gives me the ability to bring a bill. That doesn't necessarily mean that there needs to be a bill. It may be something we can achieve through regulation. For example, in Scotland, they didn't even really have regulation. What they did is the Law Society in Scotland basically got together, and through their rules and regulations, they have effectively done a reasonably good job of outlawing, or not outlawing, but at least curtailing the practice. And so there are many opportunities and things to look at.
22 minutes past midday. Have you got any thoughts on this? Have you ever been gazumped or gazundered, and do you think this is a good idea? Nick's on with us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi there. Yes, I've just listened to Mr. Clewitt talking about his proposed private members' bill. I'm just asking the question, why is a member of the revising chamber proposing legislation? Is his job to check legislation proposed from the MHKs?
Well, he's a member of Tynwald. He's a member of the Parliament.
Well, you should be asking an MHK to bring forward a private member's bill. I don't think the MLC should be doing this.
But in principle, apart from that, what do you think of the bill? What do you think of the idea?
I don't have any question over that. If people want to take that further forward, I'm quite happy for that to happen. But it shouldn't be. Legislation should not be introduced by the MLCs, in my view.
OK. All right. Thanks for calling today, Nick. And Gary's with us now. Hello, Gary.
Hello. It's regarding Tramway Terrace. Yeah. Oh, Dave's just been on. Well, a fortnight ago, it was on a Friday, they started renewing every board, or scaffolding board, and they finished it off on the Monday. And nothing else has been done, so I don't know if your team could look into it and say, why are they renewing boards? Is it through because of insurance, or are they going to start some work on it?
Yeah, why would you renew scaffolding boards, Gary?
Well, to me, you're either going to have to work on it because they're rotten over the 12 months or whatever they've been up, or for insurance purposes. I don't know. It's very suspicious the way they've done it. Like you say, they started on the Friday and finished it off on a Monday.
Well, somebody's had to pay for that, haven't they?
Well, we are, aren't we?
Right. Oh, it's time to go and take a look. All right, thanks for tipping us off for that, Gary.
Yeah, we can get your news team on it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, good to hear from you. Thanks. I've been checking our webcams, by the way, and looking at the sound, and there are at least 10 or so vehicles there. Apparently, it's a rolling road closure to the sound with traffic lights for traffic control, so it's not closed. Although they'd said it was going to be closed. It's a rolling road closure. And now we know. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy?
Very well, thank you. What about yourself?
Oh, not too bad, not too. I know why you've been off. You've been getting your suit all pressed ready for next Monday, haven't you?
Oh, it's all ready. Already, yeah, it's going to be the big day.
Smartest man on the field. Smartest man on the field. Envy that top hat, Andy.
Thank you.
It was beautiful weather last week. The island comes alive, doesn't it, with that weather. I was walking along Ramsey Beach, and there was a couple of horses trotting along. No one else. The whole beach was empty. And the other day I was down on the Douglas Promenade, and there's a couple of more long railings falling off lying on the seafront there. And I thought, what an idea. We could have a jousting competition. Couldn't they? That'd be marvellous, wouldn't it? We could get the horses from Ramsey and then poles, and we could have a jousting competition for the tourists. What do you reckon, Andy?
I was talking to somebody the other day about that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the height of the season, Douglas Council Corporation used to issue, well, there were 35,000 deck chairs at one time there on the prom, and everybody just wonders what on earth has happened to the beach. Because the beach is nothing like it used to be. Is it the groins? Is it the stabbits? What's happened? Because everything just seems to have washed away.
Well, I think it was down to French Kier building the extension on the harbour there. That's changed the whole flow. I mean, the circular flow now, and that's bringing the sand in. Look back at the old pictures, and Frankie Shimmin with the deck chairs down there in times gone past. I think it changed the whole flow of the sea.
It's weird because, I mean, obviously, Peel has got a great bucket and sand beach. Port Erin has got a very good bucket and sand beach. And Douglas used to have one as well. Now you are lucky if you see half a dozen people, and they've normally got dogs, on the beach, on Douglas Beach.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think Douglas Beach could come back. But again, if they found some way of getting rid of that sand, and I mean, the French Kier build is, what, 50 years old now, 60 years old? So if that sand has crept up over 60 years... You know, one big work expedition to get rid of that sand, and it's going to do us for another 50, 60 years, rather than build the wall higher. But there we go, we've been through that one before. just talking, last week I mentioned about the Villa Marina. There was a lot of talk about the Villa Marina, excuse the pun, and the chatter in the shows and stuff. But I spoke about theatre-style seating and going back to how it used to be. And I think, I know you used to do the camps years ago, Andy, that the only places I remember working years ago that done family-style seating with tables was the holiday camps. I think most other shows were loaded in theatre style, weren't they?
I mean, the old style cabaret clubs used to have, tables and chairs and what have you, but.
But not your big halls.
No, they were all seating, as you say, theatre style.
Yeah, and it policed itself. But I was listening to people this week talking, and there seems to be a lot of corporates are now buying tickets for people to go. So the people that are actually going there are not actually paying for the ticket, because the corporates are buying it and giving them out to VIPs and people, etc. Now, that again is another problem which causes issues in the hall, because people are not actually paying, they're just paying for it to go for a night out, and they're standing there drinking and talking. So they're not primarily going for the show. So again, that's probably another issue that the villa needs to look at there. It's not an easy one to conquer, but I would say load the show earlier, open the bar earlier, and just have restrictions so you watch the show, go to the bar, have your drink. You know, if you can't have your phone and not have a drink for 2 hours, there's something wrong, really, isn't there?
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, apart from the people chattering, people taking photos or videos sometimes of the show, and it seems that people don't want to be in the experience; they want to video the experience or take a photo of the experience. It's a strange world we live in now, Duan.
It's a changing world, considering, I said, you know, when you do the halls in England and you see how things used to be over the last 20, 30 years, it has changed differently. I believe this morning as well, there's an announcement that Palatine Healthcare are only taking in triage and emergency appointments. I don't know whether anyone has heard about that or what's happened up there, but that's just another thing that's popped up this morning. And I was just mentioning, I didn't get to mention last week, actually, because it was a few busy shows, so we're on hold and didn't get on, but there was a few meetings in the last week or so. There was a meeting at Onken last Thursday, Thursday, I think it was, about the wind turbines.
Yes.
Again, the anti-wind turbine people were presenting their side of it, and there's quite a few politicians and would-be politicians there. But we keep hearing, it's bandying about, it's like a tennis match at the moment. We're getting to both sides of the story. And I do think we're getting so close to time on this. I really think a big debate that's actually Zoomed, or you can go live to it and ask questions from the floor in a big hall in the Villa Marina, with both sides there, not Orsted saying we can't attend, with both sides there, and have like a question time debate, because it's getting to be a really big subject. It's 9,000 people signed this petition now not to have the wind turbines. It's a very, very emotive subject. And I think, you know, the people are getting flummoxed with all sorts of information from both sides. And I think it's time that, you know, government should be able to call a question time in the people's hall and let people come and make their mind up and hear both sides of the story and the relative cross-questioning. Do you not think that would be a good idea, Andy?
Well, the thing is that, there are a few strands to the whole wind turbine thing. I mean, apart from the fact that we've got an offshore one and an onshore one, and the offshore one is a lot bigger. And the offshore one is, you know, do people accept the principle of the matter? Is it the principle that they like, or don't they like it? Or if they do approve the principle, what about the size of the thing? You know, would they like it a lot more if there were a lot fewer of them and they were a lot smaller or a bit further out? So at the moment, that we've got very different questions, and as you say, because Orsted are, you know, somewhat reticent to put their case forward in public, then it's the Isle of Man. If you don't tell people something, people will either make stuff up or rumours start around the island.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, Orsted should come to the table and sit down with people on the other side and let the people decide from what they hear, because we're hearing it from different sides and it's very confusing for people, and the more stuff that comes out is more confusing. So I think something like that should happen, and that drops me onto the meeting at Port St Mary the end of the week before, where an open meeting was brought about by some people for just the general public to come in and sit down and have a think tank. And it, generally the meeting went well. It was a little bit echoey in the hall, but there was like four groups of people, and it was probably about 100 people, and they went into four groups, and they talked about what they felt. It was like a speakeasy. They felt what they thought was wrong with the island. And the main general things that came out of that from the general public was the wind turbines, food sustainability, and, you know, them key things that we talk about on this show all the time. And I think that would be a good travelling show if other people pick that up around the island, and then the organisers are going to put that into a context and deliver that to government. How far that will go down the line, I don't know, but it just shows that, you know, the volume of people that are interested, and they seem to be from the three different groups, the four main subjects that came up. Yeah. And of course the cost of nursing homes as well was a main subject that came up within the four groups.
Well, so, and interesting, this morning there was a representative from one of the nurseries on the Isle of Man, and the cost of childcare. He maintained that the cost of childcare was the most important cost after, you know, the cost of either paying a mortgage or paying rent for parents. So childcare is really, as you said, there are things at both ends of care for older people, but also for childcare on the island.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course, the whole family unit is breaking down because the cost of living. You know, two parents are going out to work, and you've got latchkey kids coming home. So that whole childcare thing it all comes into the equation, definitely. And like I said, our way of living that we've had for generations is slowly getting broken down by whatever party that's responsible for it.
Well, it's a different island, Ewan. I mean, everybody knows, and nobody can quite put their finger on it. But I mean, times have changed. Times have changed on the Isle of Man, and we have a particular way of life, and it's something that we need to hang on to, because it's a lot different elsewhere than it is on the Isle of Man. We're easygoing, we're domesticated, we like our friends and family, we like our homes, and it's something that resonates, and that will come out next Monday at Tynwald, when everybody will come and share all the skeet and the gossip.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was at La Clonkilly Fair on Friday, and fantastic to see a 150-year-old fair still going. How much longer it'll go for, we don't get new people running it, but it's great to see them traditions. But we do have to protect what we've got, and that comes into, you know, the amount of, like, recently we've had a couple of suicides as well, and people taking their own life. And I'll do a separate piece on that another day, but that's all, you know, into our well-being and family structures and everything else that we do need to protect, yeah, because it's a crazy world out there at the moment.
All right, good to hear from you, Joe, and thanks
cheers,
for being
Andy.
With us. Bye okay,
now.
A note in from Andrew, who just said yesterday, this is, came in on Friday, by the way, but it wasn't read out. Andrew said yesterday, so that will be Thursday, I travel from Ronald's Way to Liverpool John Lennon Airport and have forgotten to take ID with me. I checked in, went through security, boarded the flight, and at no point was I asked to produce any form of ID. The same happened on my return journey to the Isle of Man, where I wasn't asked for ID either. Is this now standard procedure for domestic flights, or was I just fortunate, says Andrew. From a security perspective, it does concern me that someone appears to be able to travel to and from the Isle of Man without having to prove their identity. Given the ongoing focus on border security and preventing people from entering the island unlawfully, it seems surprising that no identification was required at any stage. Well, is this something you know about? Are you aware of this? And particularly, remember, we do have boats coming in from Northern Ireland and the Republic as well. So anybody could come on a boat from Ireland, from the island of Ireland, and if you're not required to show ID to fly to the UK, where do you think that leaves us?
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Your place is so much better with Ace.
Kids, pets, messy partners. Your furniture goes through a lot. So it's time to freshen things up with something stylish, something sturdy, something built for real life. Ace Home and Ace Carpets are always full of Ace ideas. Come and explore our huge showroom Monday to Saturday. Middle River Industrial Estate, Douglas. Or find us on Facebook.
Your place is so much better with Ace.
No matter how much you need to dig, or how much you want to dump, Fox Group Isle of Man offer an extensive range of plant hire, long-term lease and sales. We're the island's exclusive supplier for Louis Gong excavators with immediate delivery. Our machinery comes with a complete service package with finance plan options. Call John on 458946 to discuss your plant needs. Fox Group Isle of Man, part of the Fox Group of companies.
The countdown to the 2026 general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who should represent you in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. But what are the things you really want to know from your candidates? How they feel about wind farms, what they do to improve healthcare, or how they plan to tackle government efficiency? Whatever it is, if you have a burning question for those standing, we want to hear from you. You can find out how and everything else you need to know about the upcoming election on our dedicated election website. Just head to manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
So now we have CVC, who are the biggest private equity fund in Europe and fifth biggest in the world, actually. They own.
And that's Gary Lamb, Manx Telecom's chief exec, talking about Manx Telecom, or what used to be Manx Telecom, still is. But of course, Manx Telecom was formally acquired by CVC, DIF and Jersey Telecom. So it is now not owned by, well, remember in the past it's been owned by all sorts of people. It was owned by Telefonica in Spain once upon a time. Long time, isn't it, since the Isle of Man acquired what used to be the British Post Office telephone. Anyway, Gary Lamb, Manx Telecom's chief exec, said it would enable Manx Telecom to move forward with confidence. Move forward with confidence. How? How will my... What, weren't they confident before? Were they tentative? What was the problem? And what benefits will this bring to customers on the Isle of Man? Right, so we asked Gary Lamb, the boss, all about this, and what is the plan then?
So now we have CVC, who are the biggest private equity fund in Europe and fifth biggest in the world, actually. They own 55% of Max Telecom, and Jersey Telecom own the other 45%. And the idea here is that one of the challenges we have on the island is scale, like many businesses here, where there's only 84,000-85,000 people here. So trying to grow the business and try to invest the money and get as much value out of that investment as we can, it's quite challenging. So bringing a couple of telcos together should give us more scale. It'll give us more purchasing power, so we're able to buy things cheaper through procurement. And all of that backed by CVC, who have capital and they want to put it to work. So it should be a really, really good marriage, if you like, having CVC, JT and MT work together.
One of the core features around this that you mentioned was 5G and the eventual rollout of 5G on the island. Still a fair way to go. Can you give us an update on how soon we could see 5G all across the island?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I absolutely recognise that, you know, there are areas around the island where the mobile coverage and the performance is not where it needs to be. You know, what we've got is a network which, you know, is due to be replaced, and that's a significant investment. You know, that's going to be £20 to £30 million. Our real focus has been on fibre over the last number of years, but we do need to replace that network. Now, one of the good things about coming together with Jersey Telecom, they've invested in their network. So one of our options there is that we can use their network and roll it out across the island. The thing we will need to do, as well as that investment, is we need to get more masts around the island. So we need probably about 20 more masts so that we can fully use 5G and all of its capability, you know, for our customers on the Isle of Man.
That's got to be a challenge, hasn't it? 20 new mass planning applications going through. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, there have been some challenges with planning. I think we all know that. But I'd hope that we can work with government to be able to roll that out. You know, the benefits of having a good working 5G network across the whole of the island are huge. So I'm sure we'll find a way through it over time.
Well, there you heard it. Then 55% CVC, which is Capital Partners PLC, based in Jersey, private equity investment advisory firm, €205 billion of assets under management, and now 55% of Manx Telecom, 45% owned by Jersey Telecom. That's where we are. Who knows what's going to happen? He was talking about getting value out of their investment. Obviously, nobody puts money into anything without wanting something at the other end. So we'll see. Who knows? It may be a few years before it gets sold on again. Anyway, let's get to the lines again. I want to go to Patrick with us now. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Andy. Andy, I'm just curious to know, the Ramsey Marina, is it all dead and buried? Or, I mean, it's going to bring investment to Ramsey, and I thought, well, if a company's willing to put the money up to build it, the Isle of Man could do with it.
It depends who you ask, Patrick. Some people say it is dead and buried, and some people say the people behind it are just waiting for the right time to put it forward. There are some people who are very for it, and obviously, really, it's about putting that the accommodation, putting the residential units around there as well. That's what's going to bring in the revenue. But it will take, you know, part of South Beach, Patrick.
Yeah, but part of South Beach, it's basically for dog walkers, because nobody goes in bathing anymore, hardly ever. And the other beach is massive. It really is massive. So to me, the Isle of Man needs investment, and the benefits outweigh negativity, in my opinion. It's the same with the wind turbines, and that's a bigger project. But Ramsey development, to me, the marina, is a no-brainer in some respects.
Yeah, well, obviously the people behind it, I think it's Mr. Bromley Martin who was initially behind it, but it did go quiet for a while. So if the people from the marina have got anything to tell us, then give us a call. Thanks, Patrick.
That's good. Okay, bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. And Andrew joins us now. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Hi there. Sorry, I have to refer to an item on other news providers' sites because I can't see it on yours, about the DOI wanting to do bus station redevelopment, and they're going to seek funding through the 27-28 budget process for looks like $735,000, and It's a combined package. We'll deliver 4 bus stops on Victoria Street alongside bottleneck shelter facilities and also on Lord Street. So that's, again, another item, coincidentally, for the 27-28 budget process. I think Ian Fleming had a very good quote of items, once, twice and three times. So now we've got the tram tracks, over 2 million. This for 735,000, and the Balasol roundabout for 2.5 million. So this surely, it's all these items coming in the 27-28 budget process, so that somebody's going to have to vote on, shall we have this, shall we have that, or shall we, because we can't afford everything. So which things are the DOI putting in where they hope that the new members in the next administration are going to vote for something, and they'll, where the DOI will plead the case that this is absolutely essential. So it's just, hello, the CEO is a lady now, I believe, and has Manx Radio, for example, ever asked her, is she totally in favour of the tram tracks and working to get them done? Anyway, I also wanted to just touch on, I think I did see in the Courier a short while ago, fortnight or so, that Douglas City Council are wanting to borrow something like 26 million to build 84 apartments in the city centre. It was one of the adverts in the back of the Courier.
Right.
Where it's seeking leave to borrow that money. But I've been on the City Council website, no news about it at all. So, very strange. And I think I'll just leave you with the comments you've just made there about telecom. Look, it's a private equity company. They want a return on capital for their shareholders. This just seems almost like the days of the steam packet company, when it was owned by a, what were they, the Australians?
Oh, Macquarie.
And they, Macquarie, these people just want to suck money out of a business. They want a return on capital. How's 20 or 30 million invested going to provide anything? They haven't got, they don't just put money in, they want money out. Leave it with you, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Well, it's worth, thank you, Andrew, it's worth looking at the history of Manx Telecom. It was, historically, the telephone system had been part of the General Post Office, the British General Post Office, and later, of course, British Telecommunications, BT, was part of the Liverpool Telephone Directory, the telephone district there. In 1985, the Alamang government announced it would award a 20-year licence to operate the telephone system under a tender process. Manx Telecom bid for it, Cable and Wireless bid for it, Manx Telecom got it. British Telecom created a Manx subsidiary called Manx Telecom, and it got the license, got the franchise above Cable and Wireless. Then Manx Telecom became part of MMO2 because BT demerged its wireless operations from the BT group. So Manx Telecom became part of O2 as it was. O2 was acquired by Telefonica, the Spanish company, in 2006. Manx Telecom was sold by Telefonica to a UK private equity investor, HG Capital, in 2010. And that was £160 odd million. It was then floated in 2014 on the AIM market, the alternative investment market. And then in 2019, Basalt Investment Partners bought it. Now it's been sold again. Jersey Telecom and CVC, as Andrew said. The steam packet was a cash cow, was always a cash cow, because it has a captive market, and that's why various people wanted it. There was always money at the other end. Luckily, we own it now. What's going to happen with Manx Telecom? We'll have to wait and see. Mr. Cluett, says Andrea, needs to have the data support his bill, not reference figures from the UK. He should focus on what he was non-publicly elected to do. The line between an MHK and an MLC is becoming blurred. they need to be reminded of what their role is. Also, I think Tanya August Hansen should be asking ministers her questions, not MLCs, says Andrea. And John said there's nothing new in house buying and selling. Nationwide falls and rises to market conditions. And G said, simple answer to gazumping, if a vendor accepts an offer, then the buyer spends his thousands on surveys and legal fees. If the seller then reneges in favour of a higher bid, make them liable for the costs incurred by the original buyer. It's simple, says G. And I was offered £5,000 more than the asking price back in 2001, but I told them I'd agreed with somebody else and shook hands, so I couldn't take it. But when we went to sign for our new property, we were getting, they just put the price up by £5,000. I didn't pay it and did get the property in the end. So what I'm saying is that this has been going on for years. Thank you for that note. A quick mention, Andrew was talking about Douglas City Council and they're wanting to purchase and to invest in new social housing. Tomorrow, Devon Watson was due to be in. The leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson, he can't make it at the moment, so we've postponed that. He's got some urgent council business, and that comes first. So we'll be rescheduling Devon Watson in the next couple of weeks or so. What I can tell you is that on Thursday, Jed Power's back. Jed Power, the hospitality professional. You know, Jed does golf tours. He's involved in all sorts of professional stuff, hospitality on the Isle of Man. So Jed's back on Man in Line. So we'll talk about the tourism industry and how we can make money from what we've got. Obviously, the TT, Heritage Railways, cruise ship tours, cycling holidays, Manx National Heritage, the coastal footpath and everything like that. So we'll talk hospitality this coming Thursday with Jed Power. And by the way, I think, and I normally don't take offence, but I feel I'm almost about to take offence because nobody has called Man in Line and wished Manx Radio a happy birthday. Nobody. 29th of June, 1964. We came on the air officially. 29th of June, 1964. So, in the absence of anything else, happy 62nd birthday to us.
Don't miss the Kane and Wicker furniture range in-store at Millichaps of Ramsey. Includes sofas, chairs and swivel rocker chairs, dining sets and coffee tables with designs featuring quality frames, beautiful fabrics including Laura Ashley designs and comfortable fully sprung seats with leather bindings. Plus, we have special offer suites and a huge range of window blinds to complement. Discover exclusive Kane and Wicker furniture in-store now at Millichaps of Ramsey.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
The Granite Centre in Laxey. For complete kitchen renovations, replacement worktops and with over 35 distinct styles and finishes, there's a Kuka instant boiling water tap for every home. Call 612287 or visit thelaxeykitchenco.im today.
For 100 years, Manx Petroleum has been part of island life, fueling journeys, warming homes, supporting businesses. As we look to the future, that commitment remains. We'll continue to embrace smarter solutions to keep the island moving for the next 100 years. Because the road ahead matters just as much as the road behind. Everything we do will be powered with experience and innovation. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
Wimbledon 2026 is now underway, and here on Manx Radio, we're celebrating by serving up strawberries and cream to workplaces around the Isle of Man. We'll be out making deliveries for the next fortnight, and if you'd like us to visit your workplace or a place of work you think deserves a sweet treat, all you need to do is fill in the nomination form at manxradio.com. Entries close this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Serve up some Wimbledon fun and bring a touch of centre court to your workplace with Orchard Recruit, Tesco and Manx Radio.
Man in line is on now. Owen Eddie's with us. Hello, Eddie.
Hiya, mate. Happy birthday. I remember it really well.
Thank you very much.
Yep, Stu Lowe, Dick Parker, so on, so on. Just a quickie, Andy, and welcome back. Ballasella Roundabout. I don't know how silly this idea is, but £2.5 million is a lot of money. They're going to dig it up and they're going to take the stuff away and bury it somewhere, aren't they?
Apparently, yes.
Well, why not bury it where it is? Raise a whole circle by 18 inches to 2 foot. That'll allow you to put all the drains and everything that you need straight away on top of the roundabout, create a brand new roundabout around it, and that, just raising it up, that will stop the flooding. And if they want, I'll do the contract for $1 million.
Okay. I thought there was something coming there.
Well, it's a bit obvious, isn't it? And it saves taking it all away. And they're going to bury it somewhere, so why not bury it where it is? It's been there for God knows how long, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. All right, Eddie, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, give me the contract.
Right, I'll mention it then. Talking through shows at the Villa's nothing new. I clearly remember when Deacon Blue played the Villa, 28th of August 2004, their first gig after Graham Kelling, the guitarist, died of pancreatic cancer. And Ricky Ross was paying tribute to Graham, but the people were talking in the audience so loud and disrespectfully, he actually stopped and said words to the effect is, either show some respect, if the talking continues, we're leaving the stage and we're not coming back. Sadly, some people never learn. How do you get that through to people? That if you're watching a live show, shut up. Why have they shut the Benny Pot Road on the mountain yesterday afternoon? And where's the beautifully carved seat gone from the bottom area of Summerhill Glen, says Steve? Is that true? The seat's gone. A quick question from Nick, who just said, do we really need 5G? Do we want 22 more towers emitting microwave radiation? I'm not sure I do, says Nick. And talking about the Strathallan, here's a photo from 1963. My sister, myself, and my brother, in that order, on the horse with Grandad Henry, who worked there. I'm sorry you can't see that photo. It's really good. And that's it. Thanks to... who was it today? Oh, it was Chris on the phones. Catch you tomorrow. WINT.